Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege this year to be president of Lakeview Carpenters for Christ. And I want to welcome y'all to our report and a time of sharing of what the events and things that went on in this trip we just made. And we traveled further. We traveled 763 miles one way to Mobley, Missouri, to a little church named Carpenter Street Baptist Church for the Carpenters. And it's a small town, farming town, and this church was celebrating its 100th year anniversary. The building that they were using was completed, I think, in 1950. And they were outgrowing it, needed some new facilities, and we tackled a 5,600 square foot kind of a multi-purpose building. It'll have a kitchen, bathrooms, and kind of a fellowship hall. And we took 60 men, and they come from 13 different churches. Around 30 were from Lakeview. And out of that 30-plus, we had 12 that hadn't been on a trip before. And got a couple of those going to speak to you tonight and share how their first trip went. And you saw the building go up. That's part of what we do. But our purpose as Carpenters for Christ is to build men as we're building a building. And we do that in several ways. One of them is we live with each other for a week. And we work together. We learn how to work together. And just interact with each other and just form relationships. We also have Bible study. And Cliff Knight directs our Bible study every year. And he picks a theme that's mainly targeted to men. Past years he's had the man's toolbox and something with a man's theme like that. And this year he had the theme of men of character. And we have 8 lessons, 2 each day, Monday through Thursday. And we had traits that are considered in the matrix of what makes a man of character. And those traits were things like faith, integrity, courage, humility, devotion, purity, love, and commitment. And each one of those traits, he associated a biblical man that demonstrated that trait. Like faith, he associated Abraham. And integrity, Daniel. Courage, Joshua. Humility, John the Baptist. And devotion, David. Purity, Joseph. Love, Paul. Love, John, and commitment was Paul. And he would give us the lesson, and we would break up into small groups afterwards and discuss the lesson. Very important time of building men. We learn each other during those small groups, and we also learn the Bible lesson. And I get a great deal out of that. It's one of my highlights of the trip is that Bible study that Cliff puts on. He does an excellent job of it. And tonight, I've got some carpenters that want to share what's important to them. And I'm going to introduce them to you, and then they'll come up one at a time as their turn comes. A newbie, Darren Olson, and then not so newbie, Ted Tyson. And then Brother Richard Klaus has sent us a video from the church. We have then we're going to have some more highlights of the building and builders. Then Buddy Fowler, Evan Jones, and another newbie, Mike Melvin, will share with us. So first up, Darren.
prepared remarks, we might not be the smartest idea, but I'll just share my experience that I have, which was really wonderful during the trip. I guess I'll start with sharing a verse, which is Hebrews 3:4, which says, "For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything." I have a passion for construction. I love construction. I really have always enjoyed it. My grandfather was an immigrant, and my mother from Norway, and he was a carpenter, and they had a home building business in Florida, and I was somewhat involved in that. But throughout my career, it's kind of always been, it's part of what I teach now. And I really love construction. I've watched these trips. You know, we've been here, me and my family, for 7 years. I've watched these presentations probably for all those 7 years, and have just kind of jealously seen the slides go by and wishing that I could be a part of it sometime. Sometime we'll have class conflicts or something in the summer. But I was able to make it this summer. And it was a wonderful trip for many reasons. On the work side of things, as far as what we did, I guess I didn't do so well. I won the slow, me and my crew won like the slow worker award, which probably comes as no surprise to my wife. I told my wife, I said, the real truth of the matter is that we weren't that fast. I'll admit to that. We were slow, but it's really the Cliff Knight scapegoat award, because I think he might have been a little slower than we were. But it was really great, and I appreciate the leaders, Steve, Don, and Bobby, who organized this as a ministry for us. And the work was wonderful, and like I said, I really enjoy it. You know, learning new things. I was on a lift one time with some Asian friends that are computer science PhDs or master's students, and I said, there's a lot of things about this I don't really know, and I'm not really sure how to do. They said, don't worry about it. We're computer science majors, and we don't know how to fix a computer either. So I felt good about that. But one of the things that, and I've shared with some folks and my wife, unexpected blessings that happened during the trip, is on Monday night, in a room full of probably, a dozen guys on cots and air mattresses and so forth, a lot of snoring, not a lot of sleeping. I felt that God spoke to me that night, unexpectedly. It wasn't related to some experience that I had that day or anything, just really out of the blue. And I guess the contents of that is probably not as important as just the fact that I really felt that God had met me there in Moberly, Missouri on Monday night on an air mattress in a room full of people that I didn't know that well. And, it was an encouraging time. I felt encouraging words, so to speak, and, really was a great spiritual experience, not just an opportunity to do some things in construction that I haven't had the opportunity to do before. So I would recommend it if y'all haven't gone on the trip, and if you're thinking about, this is something that you think you would enjoy doing, I'd certainly encourage you to do it. It's as the work is. The work is fun, It's certainly a good bit of work. You don't need to have a tremendous amount of skill, and I really don't, to do it. Just need to listen and do the best you can. But then, on the spiritual side of things, you see men older than you that are more mature than you are, and that really give you some spiritual insight and encouragement. And then and funny enough, in conversations going home. On the bus, I didn't really share with anybody about what I thought was God meeting me, but I wasn't the only one that Monday night that had that experience. So it must have been due to somebody praying here, or prayer, I'm sure, had something to do with it. But it spiritually, it was a great experience. I'd recommend it to anybody that's considering going.
Thompson asked me two questions up there. He didn't know that before we went up there, I asked a question about him. I got an email from a Robert Thompson. And I saw Jerry Ferguson next Sunday. I said, "Jerry, who is Robert Thompson?" And he said, "Oh, that's Bobby. I'll introduce you." So I met Bobby, and he gave me my shirts. On the trip, Bobby asked me two questions that I can remember. The very first time I saw him was around 6:30 or so Thursday before the main group of guys were to come. And Bobby said, "Ted, do you snore?" And I said, "I did one time." And he picked up his bags and left the room. The other question he asked me was toward the end of the week, "Ted, would you mind sharing?" I said, "No, not at all." This was my fifth trip in 20 years, but first time in 12 years. Some impressions that I've gotten from those five trips. The 330s. The circle up three times a day with no hats. Amen at the top of your lungs. Getting to wear a tool belt all day. Having bad hair days and nobody caring. And everybody having an assignment and doing something. You know, Darren mentioned about the ability that you need, that a guy needs to go on this trip. And I tell you, there's only one ability that you need. And that's availability. Just go and see what the Lord does. More impressions. Kind words and cool water in all circumstances. No finger pointing, just problem solving. And every night being wonderfully, totally tired, eating four meals a day. Sleeping, now not this time, guys, but the other four trips. Sleeping in a symphony of nighttime sounds. If you had been on the trip to Warner Robins, where we built a new sanctuary, framing in 100 degree heat, wearing a wide brim hat and drinking water continuously to beat heat stroke, and we did. We beat heat stroke. Rock Hill, South Carolina, where we worked on a new sanctuary, you would have seen some trust monkeys sitting on top of a 20 to 25 foot exterior wall, sitting one end of the trusses as they were lifted in place by a 60-foot crane. You would have felt the throbbing rhythm of black gospel music, real gospel music, in worship that Sunday. In Hinesville, Georgia, you may have seen a guy washing pots and pans. Guys signing the end trust in the sanctuary. Somewhere in Central Florida, bracing trusses after they were placed by a 60-foot crane. Again, that trust monkey showed up. John Weston, I left and came back home early, though, and I think that's why the next day some really strong winds came and blew all those trusses out of alignment, and a private contractor repaired that to the tune of $40,000 or more. Somewhere along the line, I received a rubber mallet safety award for doing something really unsafe, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, but thank you, Safety Officer Bill. I'm trying to omit the last name so nobody will really know. The Moberly, Missouri trip, building a new fellowship hall, prefab construction walls, styrofoam sandwich walls, traditional truss roof construction. Nobody of the 60-plus guys on that trip had ever built a building with those prefab styrofoam sandwich walls before. This was the first trip after 12 years. I saw Dover Two-Stick. I remember from him, one of the things he said to me during this trip was, think, you should know. Dover One-Stick, I remember from the Warner Robins trip, measure twice, cut once. And a guy named Park. Too much. Younger than I. Dutch parents whose farm was flooded when the Nazis invaded Holland during World War II. They came to America under a sponsorship program to farm, and they farmed long enough with a sponsor to save money to buy their farm and to become naturalized citizens. Park joined the Marines out of high school, served in Vietnam. He showed up late Thursday morning, early Friday morning. I wonder sometime, reading about David and Jonathan's relationship in the Bible. I can tell you that when I saw Park and talked with him, there was an instant bond between he and I. He got up Wednesday night and shared his love for the Lord. And I couldn't help but do the same thing. And Park said, I would follow you guys anywhere. I would lead you guys anywhere. John Earhart, and some of my closest friends will remember him, a 71-year-old Carpenter Street member, came by Sunday afternoon just to visit with the Carpenters. He was retired from the railroad about 22 years, but he said he lost his wife to cancer 3.5 years ago. And he said, I still miss her. And I thank God that since 1968, I have lived with a beautiful, loving, faithful, God-fearing, lady with great forbearance, and I was glad that I could come back to her. Although in the last year or so, I've been having conversations with another lady. Her name is Prudence. Now, if you don't know who Prudence is, when you get home tonight, if you can find a Merriam-Webster dictionary, look up Prudence. She's a good lady to listen to. She and I decided that it would not be a good idea for me to volunteer for anything on this trip. And I wound up, though quite frankly, I'm a trust monkey at heart, if you couldn't tell. But I wound up working on the ground trust preparation and connection crew. And you know what I realized? Not a single trust monkey could do anything until the ground trust preparation crew nailed those 2-foot separation pieces on them and connected each truss to the harness that 60-foot crane used to lift those trusses up and place them. That was a reminder to me. You know, the Bible says that every member is important. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The truss monkeys can't say to the ground truss preparation crew, we don't need you guys. So I was on this trip a grunt, a gopher, a forager, but I soon promoted myself to a ground facilitator. And I promoted a couple of other guys to ground facilitator. But the one thing that I kept hearing on this trip was, it started out, Ted, it's not about you. And then it became, it's not about me. And as Bobby mentioned, as Darren shared with you, building the building is secondary. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. It was just a pleasure to be in an atmosphere where everybody had one purpose in mind. And we all worked like, hey, the Lord was right there. And we know that God works. In fact, Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What is that purpose? Micah 6:8 said, he has showed you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? And Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I can tell you, like Bobby said, like Darren said, God spoke to every one of us. And we all could say, like John 1:16, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. No man on that trip can share fully all of the blessings that they experienced. One of the things I brought back was a carpenter's pencil. By the way, it used to be, folks would say, well, I wonder what projects guys do at home once they come back from a carpenter's trip. Well, you'd be surprised. Since I got back, I've used a pneumatic nail gun, a compound miter saw, a hammer, a speed square, and a carpenter's pencil. But you know what? God has used these verses and everything that Cliff shared with us about the characteristics of a godly man to work on me. To work on me. And just like this pencil that says carpenters for Christ, as iron sharpens iron, so no man sharpens another, from Proverbs 27:17. This pencil is not a bit of good until you take out a knife and you sharpen it. And then you can use it for what it was meant to be. Men, we need sharpened. And one of the best tools to sharpen a man is another man. And he does it. And he'll do it. I encourage each of you, no matter what age you are, I don't care if you even know how to spell hammer, to pray about going to on the carpenter's trip next year. There was a guy who, I think he was older than me. He had more white hair. But every time I saw him, he was walking around the job site picking up trash and taking it to the dumpster. Now, if you don't think that's important, you let nobody do that, then you stumble on it. I'm telling you, the only ability you need is availability. And God will sharpen you and use you in a way that you have no idea. God, through you, will bless people, and you will be blessed. Thank you, Bobby, for asking, even asking the first question, because that gave us a little bit more room, and I didn't have to worry about whether you snored. But thank you for the last question, too. It was good. Pray about it.
Lakeview Baptist Church. I'm Richard Klaus, the pastor at Carpenter Street Baptist Church in Mobley, Missouri. On behalf of our community and the members of our church, I want to say a big thank you to the service that the Carpenters for Christ did for our church and our town. I believe you've allowed God to work through you, and your hard work and sacrifice will be rewarded. This year was my fifth experience working with you guys. I have hosted two trips now, and I have traveled with you on three others. So I'm one of the few who truly understand the impact that your group can have on a congregation like ours. Without the Carpenters for Christ, we would still be in the planning stage of our building instead of getting ready to hang drywall this week. However, the building is not the primary thing about Carpenters for Christ. I think it's the way men get together. They provide a witness to a town. They become examples of sacrifice and service, and they share a week of godly growth and encouragement with one another. To me, those are some of the things that make Carpenters for Christ very important. You know, a Carpenters for Christ missions trip, to me, is the ultimate package. I've grown to love you guys and cannot wait until next year to join you for another trip. Once again, I want to say thank you and encourage you all to realize how much of a blessing you are and you will be in the years to come. God bless you. Oh, wait. Where's Boyd? Oh, hey, there you are. Hey, you forgot your undies. Hey, don't worry about it. I'll bring them with me next year. Can't wait to see you again. Thanks a lot.
You are glorious.
Lord, you are glorious.
starting to wake up now after that interlude. I said, my name is Buddy Fowler. I'm also known as Landy, for those of you who don't know. I have to say one thing. I've been on several trips. I think I've been on seven over the last 27 years since I've been here. But the trip, for y'all of you who don't know, last year's trip was a little shorter than normal, than all the trips I've ever been on. For those of you who don't know, on the Wednesday, I was there, got there on Sunday. On Wednesday, on June 11th, I was up in the rafters installing angle bracing. And there was some other guys, and the board I was standing on gave way, and I fell 22 feet. I broke my left tibia, my fibia, and my pelvis, and a rib. I was taken to the hospital. We were in Paducah, Kentucky. They got there, and they couldn't help me, so they flew me to Vanderbilt, where they did my first surgery. Over the last year, I've had three surgeries. I had an infection. I was on crutches for 5 months. But in all of that, God was faithful. He took care of me, ministered to me, and through all of other people. There are a lot of blessings I could tell you about that happened before, during, and after the fall. But I really want to tell you about one. That was the blessing that I got to go on the Carpenters for Christ trip again this year. So it was one thing about falling like that. People remember you. They just you leave an impression upon their, you know. So that was a good and bad thing, I guess. People did remember me, though. One thing that was a blessing to be able to go back, continue serving Christ with my fellow carpenters. Most of us are not carpenters and certainly not perfect. You know, we're just men willing to give what meager talents we have to serve Christ. You know, I always have to remember what Jerry Rankin said. You know, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. You know, it's amazing what God can do, whatever we let him do it. You know, and it was sort of an international trip because we had three of our Chinese brothers with us, so that was interesting. I was in the same room with them, learned a lot from them. They probably learned some stuff from us also, but that was good. Another thing that people asked me on this trip, was I going to go back up in the rafters? You know, was I going to get back up there and do angle bracing again and do what I was doing last year? And I said, well, of course I'm going to do that. That being up in the rafters was not my problem. The problem I had was being on the ground. So this time I stayed in the rafters, so I didn't have that problem. You know, we worked hard as usual. Some of us slept hard, and we had a really good time. You know, with, like people said, with Cliff's Bible studies, we enjoyed those. You know, the thing about it is we go on these mission trips, and that's what they are, to glorify God and to spread his name. The buildings we build are to enable the congregations, our brothers and sisters, to reach more people with the gospel, to tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells us we who are Christians are to be a blessing to all the nations. We are to be proclaiming God's name, reputation, honor, and glory. So whether you go on a home or foreign mission trip, you know, it's not about us. It's about him. It's about spreading the gospel. You know, and you never know when you build these buildings, people who become... We actually had a young man accept Jesus Christ while we were there. David Hawk was ministering to the children, and one of the young men in the neighborhood didn't go to church. Just they were doing stuff, and David talked to him, and he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. So you never know who will become a Christian just because of these buildings that we built and what they'll do. It's trying to remember. Never mind. But it was a great trip. I look forward to some more. Look forward to next year. I encourage any man who wants to go. However, like I said, you know, it's an enjoyable time. You work hard. You meet people. You get to fellowship with a lot of good people. Traveling up there, you get to fellowship. Being there, you get to fellowship. So I would encourage any of you to go to be able to glorify God in what we do and what we say. Again, I appreciate all of the prayers everybody had for us. Just thank you all for allowing us to do this.
Well, good evening. My name is Evan Jones, and I had an opportunity, going on 2 weeks ago, to go to Moberly, Missouri. Excuse me. It's been a while since I've spoken public. But anyway, just to kind of give you a little bit of the background information, as Mr. Bobby was saying, I'm going to give you the setting of Moberly. It's kind of on the northwest side of things, give or take 760 miles, depending on how long you slept on the bus. And to kind of tell you about it, it's a very old building. And I had the privilege to meet an elderly lady who was very proud of the fact that she was married when that building was built in 1952. And to put that in perspective, my parents were not even born yet in 1952. So that was interesting to figure that out about her. And about this old building, it did have an older congregation. About three-quarters of it was over the age of 60. And that becomes a problem when you have 289 steps in a four-story building. And they stuck every step they could in that building. I mean, we even had trouble walking up the stairs, up and down, up and down. So to really kind of, the reason we were there, the mission, you could say, was to give them a building they could use for themselves, but also for the community that they were involved in. And since I'm actually involved in the building professionally, if you can call it that, I actually thought it was a pretty charming building, actually. It was a 60 by 90 by maybe 30 feet tall. I'm not exactly sure. But it was basically like they were saying, it's going to be used for a fellowship hall, had a bathroom, had a kitchen as well. And they were just going to use it for themselves, but also to minister to their local community. And this was like in a mill village, by the way. It's built on a railroad town, according to some of the locals. So it's kind of like, since we're all familiar with Pepperell, or it used to be Pepperell, Opelika Mill Village, almost kind of like that when you put a church like right in the middle of it, you know. And as you can see from the video, we had a very interesting type of construction, kind of like a jigsaw, you know, putting everything together and all the pieces. And I had the privilege of helping with the interior stuff and also working on the roof, which come to find out you're automatically qualified if you're under the age of 30, since you're going to be climbing up a ladder and carrying stuff. But that was really great, and I learned a lot. And honestly, the working was difficult. It was extremely involved, but it was extremely rewarding. And rewarding in the sense kind of, brings really to the meat of this ministry of Carpenters for Christ, which is, it's rewarding because you are able to kind of, you know, build and see what you're doing, but you're also seeing your life change and see the life change of others. So, like, you know, the ministry for Carpenters for Christ, this is my second trip. I didn't go last year, or the year before that. I went to Lexington, I believe. But it's an outreach and an inreach. Outreach in the sense that we are helping local churches anywhere from Alabama to wherever, Ooga Booga, you know, and we're helping them help themselves, either providing them buildings they can use to better minister to the people in their congregation, but also to the people outside of their church as well. And I would also, and am persuaded that it's an inreach as well, because you have men from all over different aspects of life, different ages, different professions, that all come together in one accord to not only build a building, but to build one another up, to encourage one another, to, you know, lead each other on, tell them their stories, where they come from, what they're struggling with, you know, all these things. And that was so needed in my life at the time, I know for sure. And also, there's a lot of men that come on these trips that are not walking with the Lord, that God's not on their radar. You know, it's a classic, you know, working class hero, you know, preacher man doesn't know my life, I'm a working man, you know, all that stuff. And that's just all just excuses, really. And it's really humbling and gracious to see them tell their stories of how they came to know the Lord through these trips, through the influence of others, you know, that, you know, their intent, they'll say that they want to go to this building site to just work circles around people, when really they're in the middle of the circle, surrounded by people who love the Lord, and they're just humbled by that. And I know that from my own personal experience as well. But, like, I mean, you'll hear stories from guys you're like, there's no way, you know, no way you've come this far. You know, who are we to say, you know, who's saved and who's not, you know, apart from faith in the Lord Jesus. And it's just really amazing to see those guys each and every year. And like I said, this is on my second year, but to see guys I saw from like 3 or 4 years ago and see them now, I'm like, wow, that is awesome and amazing. And they give credit to basically what the ministry of the church is, which is we are ambassadors and representative of Christ and the Lord in all areas of your life, whatever you're involved in. You know, we're his hands and his feet, you know, and we try to represent him as best as we can, not perfectly, but we try to wholeheartedly and intentionally. And I really think that is what this world needs. I know that's what I needed and still need every day, is just, you know, people to be real and intentional And that's what we got from this trip, from each other, but what we also offered to other people that came on the trip, but also came and just spent time with us randomly and stuff like that. And I definitely gained a few brothers on this trip, gained a lot of fathers, and goodbyes are always, you know, hard. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what to say. I don't know when I'm going to see these guys. And something that was really interesting, I was able to befriend an elderly lady, the one that was bragging that she, you know, been married longer than my parents have been alive, and that she came up to me, like, a few days on the job, so I make sure I was drinking plenty of water, kind of like my grandmother almost, make sure I had sunscreen and all that stuff, and it was very nice. And our last day there, she found me, and she said, you know, she just came to me straight up, and she's like, well, I'm probably going to be dead by the next time you see me, but I just wanted to say I appreciate all the work you did, and I'll see you again someday. And, it's like, and she pointed up and was like, I'll see you in heaven. I'll be waiting for you. And I was like, oh, my gosh, man. I'm like, you know, the tears start rolling, and I'm like, oh, man, this is crazy, you know. But, you know, it is – this ministry is great, and just speaking of ministries, this church has many ministries, hundreds. I can't name them all. And I know, Lord willing, I'll be involved in the Carpenters for Christ ministry, but I'm also looking to get involved in the other ministries this church has, and there's so many of them. And, you know, it's not a perfect church because I'm a member of it, absolutely, but this is a church that is getting busy for the Lord, and I'm just proud to say I'm a part of this family of believers, and I definitely don't know everyone in this room. I've only been here maybe 3 years, but I'm still working on it, you know, but I just thank you for all your support and all your prayers, all your thoughts, and I just hope that we can all just continue to work together, if it's not in Moberly, but if it's here in Auburn, just wherever we all go. And hope you all have a good week, and thank you so much, and God bless. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mike Melvin, and this is my first mission trip, Carpenters for Christ. Whenever I first heard about that, it was here at the church, and I didn't think much about it. But my wife, who is the greatest encouragement in my life, said, Mike, you might want to be thinking about going on that. And so I did. And I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to be in front of you and share with you just some impressions that I had of those 9 days that I was gone to Moberly, Missouri. First of all, the godly men that I had the privilege of being associated with. It was so important to me to see the character of men the way that I think exemplified the behavior that Christ would have men to display. There were times when things didn't go well as far as the building construction. There were problems, but not one time did I hear words of discouragement. There was not a time whenever I heard an expletive, condemnation, a negative statement, or anything that would be construed as unchristian in the character of the men that was on this trip. So that stood out as one thing, an impression that deeply affected me, godly men. The next thing was the organization, the efficiency and the effectiveness of getting 60-plus men together, having a leader that had a plan that said, these are our goals for today. Here are the groups that you're going to be working with. And it demonstrated to me, again, the value of leadership. We so need that in organizations. We need that in our country today. We need that in our churches. We need somebody that knows what's going on and somebody that can share that with the group. And then the people were eager to follow, as demonstrated by the effectiveness of us putting up that building. The next thing was a supportive environment. It's been stated earlier that it really doesn't matter what your level of skill is on carpentering. But the ability and the willingness that you have to serve God in any task that is available, that was one thing that amazed me also, was that the structure of Carpenters for Christ, with one person supervising and then dividing up into teams, and then the teams having a leader, and then the groups working independently of each other, and yet it was for the good of the whole trip. Everyone worked. There was nobody that did not work, and the hours were long. The food was good, 4 meals a day. I thought for sure I would gain weight whenever I came back, but because of the calories burned from the work, I did not gain any weight, and I was happy about that. We weren't just building a building. We were building relationships. We were building relationships with each other, and one of the things that I think about is that we were building for our future. We were building things that will make an eternal difference in the lives of people that would come in contact with those buildings, but also what we were doing, I believe, was storing up treasures in heaven where rust and thieves and mold cannot come in and diminish your efforts. The commitment to Christ, the Bible studies that Cliff led, an hour and a half every day, and then the discussion groups was a powerful way in which we were able to share the love of Christ and the love for each other. The spiritual growth was exceptional. There was an expectation that we would grow spiritually, and I know that that happened in my case. And finally, the Lord's Supper, that Wednesday night in which we observed the Lord's Supper, and then men had an opportunity to get up and share what the trip meant and what the relationships meant. And there was some real soul searching. There were men that cried. There were men that told of family problems. There were men that sought support of loving Christian men who could pray for them. And that was a very moving time also. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." I can't help but think of the effect that that had on the men and their behavior, because I saw some situations and heard of a situation where a man said, "Before I knew Christ, I wouldn't have responded the way that I did." And I was very proud to know that that indeed was the fact, because there was no cussing, there was no condemnation. It was just a positive experience. Ted talked about Proverbs 27:17. "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." I think this proverb actively describes Carpenters for Christ. What a blessing it was for me to have been a part of the Moberly, Missouri mission trip. Thank you.